Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Eloy's coming.
Dan McNeil. Danny Parkins.
Here we go.
Afternoons on the Score.
I don't really understand what happened. If this was like a Score thing that thought it was, you know, it's like too cool. I don't understand when the Crosstown Classic, whatever you want to call this series, the Redline series, I don't understand when it got uncool to say that this is just fun. It's just more fun than normal regular season baseball.
It is. I mean, how many dates can you have with the Pirates?
Yeah, indeed.
Or in the Sox case, how many nights can you have with the Kansas City freaking Royals? It's fun.
It's the arrival for Eloy, and that's pretty awesome.
I don't feel straight up regret and jealousy over the trade.
You should feel regret.
Tie game, ninth inning, Jimenez the batter.
There's the go-ahead run, standing at first base.
Now, Jimenez in the very first inning had a big at-bat. Bases loaded and only one out, and he hit into the 5-4-3 double play.
This is Eloy Jimenez. I'm going to hit a home run because I'm the beast.
Jimenez in the air, left field. He's your hero. Welcome to Wrigley. Thanks, Cubs.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
A lot of prideful faces in Sox gear. Left field. Tilson makes the catch. June 18th, 2019 is Eloy Jimenez night in Chicago.
It started as a baseball game and ended as a coming out party from a guy that has stardom written all over him.
I don't feel straight up regret and jealousy over the trade.
You should feel regret.
It's like, all right, let's get to the playoffs.
Thanks, Cubs.
Yo, saddle up, lock and load.
The McNeil and Parkin Show, afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
Yeah, a little bit more straight up regret today.
Oh, there's more coming in the weeks ahead.
And years ahead. And maybe the next decade.
Yeah,
that's a hell of a baseball player
you all
got
feel
on the
regret.
South side. Yeah, yeah. He's really, really good, and he looks like he'd be really, really fun to root for.
He is.
Yeah, I believe you.
Tanny and I can vouch for that.
He is. You can claim him now?
I can confirm that.
Okay. Yeah.
Man, claim him now?
Yeah, go ahead. Claim him now.
You should have seen. I did not see this coming. My God. I think what got this in my noodle yesterday was the soundbite Tanny played from the movie The Breakup, which I adore, when Vince Vaughn and Jon Favreau are at a Cubs game and are talking about how he never wants to go to a Sox game unless they're playing the Cubs. And I started thinking about the whole meatballery of all of this and reflecting as I was driving home on 20-plus years of doing this. And I'm looking at the crowd shots in the first inning and seeing couples, one in a Cubs jersey, one in a Sox jersey, pals, young pals, old pals, and it resurrected a meatball instinct that I had no idea still was in there. When Baez threw the ball into the stands almost,
yeah.
I said, nice throw, Javi. I've never called him not Javi. I called him Javier, like one of the guys in the DEA did to Benicio del Toro's character in Traffic.
It's a deep cut,
Javier,
but yes, I'm with you.
He was the only one who called him that. I retained it, and I let it out last night. I had no idea that was coming. I was glad to see the Cubs lose. As much as I want them to win their division, win the National League, win the damn World Series, I was glad to see the Sox beat them last night.
And to see our guys come out there and kick some Cub ass.
See? It still feels good.
That's what I was talking about yesterday. There's nothing wrong with that. That is sports. Every game can't be a World Series. Every game can't be for a championship. And I know the goal of pro sports is to win a championship. But if that is your only definition of enjoying sports, then 29 fan bases every year get no joy out of sports. And that's not what this is all here for.
Yeah, yeah. It was suspend any logic. It was just kick back and enjoy the ride and enjoy all of it. And I had a rather odd observation last night, too, very early in the ballgame. I'll get to a little bit later on, but a celebration of Eloy. Ahoy, Eloy. He is here, and he's not going away tonight unless they don't get to play, which I'm not expecting them to play based on all the reports I've heard around here.
Might be the only thing that can slow him down based on this tear that he's on. Top of the hour on the score, brought to you by Northwestern Football.
He hit a tornado.
Join Coach Fitz in the Big Ten West Division and Holiday Bowl champions at Ryan Field this fall when they host Ohio State, Iowa, and more. Season tickets on sale now at nusports.com.
Two tornadoes.
This hour on the score, brought to you by Shelton Fireworks, home of the big ones. Well, I wanted to go to Tanny, the good Sox fan, because he said yesterday that he had a moment from 1999 in Cubs Sox, and then he had a Paul Konerko moment. And I am just honestly curious, does that go to the top? Like, instantly, Eloy, first Cubs Sox game, hits the broken bat home run in his Wrigley Field pro debut to win the game. Is that your favorite Cubs Sox memory instantly?
I hate to be a prisoner of the moment, but sorry, Shane Reardon is calling me after we started the show for some reason, so I'm sure whatever it is can wait. But yeah, last night is pretty high up there without being a prisoner of the moment. I mean, I can't remember the last time. I think it's been 11 years since a regular season White Sox game has produced audible couch noises last night. I mean, I think it was Carlos Quinton going walk-off. He hit two home runs, I think, off John Lackey on Sunday Night Baseball in 2008. That was the last time I was excited about the Sox during the regular season. So, I mean, it's been 11 years. I think this would rank highly up there in the Sox-Cubs thing, so.
Dude, that's awesome. Like, I swear to you, I know there is a section of Sox fans because of a sign prank last year that think I am a Sox hater. I promise you, I was a freshman in college. I cheered the White Sox World Series in 2005. Very little of me was angry last night. Now,
I believe that.
Today, when
I'd call him on it if I didn't think he was being truthful.
Now, today, do I have jealousy that that guy's going to be on the Sox side for the South side and the Sox side for a long time? Absolutely. But I love sports for the story, like the unscripted drama. It is the truest version of reality TV. That was, other than if he would have hit that home run off of Jose Quintana, that was the single best way that story last night could have gone. I genuinely thought it was awesome, and I was thrilled to be there.
Quick follow-up, guys. Sorry, I know Shep's probably standing by. Does he believe that Eloy should petition to have his number changed to 5-4-3 after the double play in the first inning? I'm wondering if that's still a thing that Eloy is petitioning. Maybe we can ask him when he sits down with you guys in a little bit.
Who's back there? I can't make out what they're saying.
Yeah.
No, I totally went full Dan McNeil last night the second the first pitch was thrown. It's like, all right, yeah, Cubs Sox, this is fun, everything else, and it turned into meatball, whatever you want to call it, and it's fine for 48 hours. I'll be back there tonight throwing the same arrows and whatever else and be ready to be on that. And then once this series is over for the next week or so, whenever they play twice more, then it's back on for 48 hours. Yeah. But for 96 hours over the summer, I'm more than okay for going Captain Meatball and making fun of all my Sox fan friends.
That's what was so cool.
You got
cool.
more clothes than
it was so cool
you
because
got more clothes than what you're wearing, aren't you?
He's not going to
I'm
the
not
game.
Going tonight. No.
Yeah, he's going home. You just mean you're going to go back home and you're going to watch
Correct.
The game again.
Correct. Yeah.
What's up, Tanner?
And after Schwarber, you know, first pitch of the game goes out, I think we all had the feeling like, here we go again. And then they hang in there all game long, and you're thinking, okay, the Cubs are a team that's built to win games like this. The Sox are still trying to figure out how to win games, period. So I don't think many of us felt that the Sox were going to find a way to win that game, and then it just happened so fast. And I think that's what was so great about it.
I'm with you. He's up to bat, and you're like, oh, wow, this is actually it's a big moment. For Eloy, he's got a chance to do something really cool. And then he does it in such epic fashion with a broken bat home run. It was awesome. And he's got a chance to own this town in a unique way for a White Sox star. Because obviously The White Sox have had stars that have
been... You mean he's going to steal the bone of beef endorsement from former White Sox stars?
Well, that will be the... That's step one, maybe two, of the process. But, like, obviously, like, Frank Thomas was a national star who played for the White Sox. But a White Sox star who could be the best player in the city and who Cubs fans will have genuine opinion of,
sure,
and, like, genuine feelings to, whether it's resentment, jealousy, some sort of weird pride that they try to talk themselves into, like, well, we found him, like whatever it is. Like, he has the opportunity to own the baseball conversation that has an appeal to both sides of town, unlike a Sox player that I personally can remember.
John Garland, to a degree. John Garland helped the White Sox win a World Series, and he was a Cubs pitcher before the White Sox gave you guys Matt Karchner.
Yeah, but John
Garland...
He
didn't smoke in the clubhouse, though. Karchner waited until he was outside by the fire station before he had a burrow.
Yeah, or he went on the mound and just lit himself on fire. Was his other party trick.
Eloy
just garbage.
But Eloy has a chance to be a superstar.
Correct.
Like, you know, like, that,
I think,
that's
like,
the difference.
Frank Thomas is the only White Sox player that's ever had that in this city, at least in my lifetime. Even when the Sox were great 05, 06, who was that player?
Canerco.
Canerco wasn't as big as Frank Thomas was.
Canerco
in this game,
was huge.
Juan Uribe.
Huge. And not Thomas.
Of course.
He's not Thomas, no, but he's right there. He's 1A.
Well, we were talking about the idea of if this is the reverse of the Sammy Sosa trade. Now, he's got a long way to go, obviously, to get that good.
Yeah,
but obviously.
He's not hitting 66 homers yet.
No, I know. I understand that. But just the thought of if it goes down as that lopsided of a trade, like if Quintana doesn't deliver for the Cubs and Eloy and Cease end up being huge parts of the Sox and Eloy becomes a guy who's hitting 30 and 100 every year and in contention and in the conversation of a top five, top 10 player in baseball year in and year out, it's like, this will be the reverse of that trade. Now, there's no steroids, so it won't be 60 home runs, but that has the potential for what this could be.
How do you know there won't be steroids?
I guess that's
how
true.
Do you know?
How do you know there's not already?
Yeah, that's true. Look at that Daryl Boston-sized rear end. Is that a symptom of steroid use?
Yeah, I don't think Quintana's Johnson, guys.
Shrink somewhere else so it grows in the back.
Hell, brother!
I'm just saying, man, that the next decade of baseball flashed before my eyes, leaving Wrigley Field last night.
You have 7.5 years of Eloy's going to be right there, front and center for you, and you're going to remember each time he hits a huge home run like last night, or he hits two home runs against the Yankees, or whatever it might be. Man, that guy could be patrolling left field or right field. Instead, it's Jason Hayward's contract that blocked him and made him expendable to get Jose Quintana.
I'm going to have a couple of surly guys on my hands for a couple hours today. It looks like they're having regret, and they haven't even seen what Q does yet once this season continues
seen
to
two
unfold.
Years of
it.
What are you talking about?
Hey, hold on a sec. I can't help but be curious. Now that Darvish is fixed, at least for the short term, can all of that negative energy be shifted over to Jose Quintana since Eloy Jimenez is having the career start that a lot of people thought he would have? Going to be a pissed at Q all season now?
So you're ready for when the Cubs launch their television network next year? You're going to have Yu Darvish's great start in L.A. as the first programming that's shown as instant classics?
Oh, yeah. We're gonna run a loop of it on the anniversary.
Listen, I still feel the same way that I did yesterday about the Cubs could feel good about their side of the trade if Quintana and Darvish are meaningful parts of a World Series or even a pennant-winning rotation. You can justify it because they were able to afford Darvish because they traded for Quintana on a cheap salary. But short of that, Eloy's going to haunt Cubs fans for a long, long time, man. He looks like he's going to be awesome, and we knew that before last night, but the opportunity for him to do that, that's just the stuff of superstardom, rising up in that moment in that spot. It was just a fairy tale. Like, if we would have scripted that before.
Oh, yeah, it's tremendous.
We didn't even talk about it on the air
there
yesterday.
Won't be another one this year that tops that.
I don't think so. I mean,
there could be.
They're going to be a
music. He has more at-bats coming.
Yes.
How long until the musical is written about last night's home run for Eloy?
Oh, this guy. Unbelievable. Mac, do you want to take the honors here?
I would like to tease it. We'll take a timeout and come back. Something that used to be a regular event at this fine radio station back in its inception year of 1992 is being resurrected, and it's an opportunity for all of us to get together with those of you listeners who play golf, and we're going to raise some money for a tremendous charity, and we have a tremendous venue. The Golf Outing's been on vacation for about 3 years. We'll talk about it in length in a couple of minutes.
Sounds good. We also have John Morosi at 2:40, Albert Almora at 3:30. Eloy going to stop by the show at some point before we're out of here. We are at Brickhouse Tavern as part of the Wynn Trust Crosstown Series. It's Mac and Parkins on the Score.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Whoa!
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 It's a lily.
Now that's a shot.
Ball runs like a frightened fawn.
WC Fields.
That thing's still running.
Yes, indeed. Back where we started on the golf course. It's Mac and Parkins on another Wynn Trust Crosstown broadcast, broadcasting from Brickhouse Tavern in Wrigleyville. Happy to announce to you that our golf outing is set. We are resurrecting the Scores golf outing. I'm happy to have Danny as co-chair on this. Bad Dog, it's happening Monday, the 5th of August at gorgeous Seven Bridges in Woodridge. I'll get to the entry fees in just a little bit. The beneficiary of this event is going to be, once again, Turning Point Foundation. Visit turningpointfoundation.org for information on what this fantastic facility in sprawling Naperville does for young autistic children, teenage autistics, young adults, in terms of getting them one-to-one therapy. There's a residential facility. There are several businesses that operate on campus where teenagers and young adults get the opportunity to get real life work experience. It is a five-star facility that's become the model by which others are being judged. Even Frenchie, Mike Starr from Goodfellas, was floored by how cool it was to be at Turning Point when we cut the ribbon on that place a few years back, Danny. So I'm just very, very excited about this. And Seven Bridges, as you learned, is one of the best tracks in Chicagoland. It's country club golf with a public golf course attitude.
And they do such an amazing job, and they're so charitable that they have allowed for 100% of the proceeds from the McNeil and Parkins Score golf outing to go to the charity. So I know you'll go over the financial details, but again, it's August 5th, and for all of the information, 670thescore.com/golfouting. But I think that that is such a huge thing for making one of these events successful, is a donation of a course. So then people out there know that if you're spending money at this thing to play golf, raffles, whatever you're doing, extra things on the side, whatever mm-hmm. we have for you where there is money involved, 100% of proceeds go to the charity.
That really helps us back up our colloquialism. What are we? The city with big shoulders, broad shoulders, big shoulders,
yeah,
strong shoulders,
broad shoulders.
Don Ferrari, who is in charge at Seven Bridges, has done this for us for a handful of years, and he does it again this year because he's a very charitable man, and he's a huge Score fan. And has been since the first year we were on the air, which marked our first golf outing. I don't know how many this is for us, but it took a little bit of a break. Bernstein and Boers did it in the summer of 15, 1 year after Matt Spiegel and I was gone, and they took over the golf outing, and I loved playing in it. It was once again at Seven Bridges. I was at the Drive, and I was happy to be out there with all the Score guys and support Turning Point, which is a magnificent just, I can't say enough good things about this. And I'm somebody who has been touched by autism in the most personal way possible. My son Patrick was diagnosed in 96. He's now 25 and functional and happy, but never will be self-reliant. And if it weren't for programs like the ones they have designed at Turning Point, his ceiling wouldn't have ever risen to the level to which it's risen. So I just can't say enough great things about them. A foursome is $750, same as it was 5 years ago. We haven't raised the price of a foursome. $200 for an individual slot if you don't have a group. And as Parkins mentioned, there'll be all kinds of contests. We'll find some ways to gamble and be degenerates as well.
I would hope so. We're going to have Bernstein and McKnight are going to start the day of broadcasting out there. We will be there. Lawrence will be there. Other Score personalities are going to be there. There will be local celebrities that are there. There will be whole prizes and all sorts of ways for you to contribute throughout the day. It's a shotgun start, so it's 1:30 golf. So if you need to go to work in the morning or something like that to get things in order.
Yeah, punch out a half a day.
Yeah, get a half a day in early. Make it out to Seven Bridges. If you want to play individually, we can put groups together. If you want to buy a foursome, that's great too. But again, I know there's a lot of information we're throwing at you, but got about, what, five, six plus weeks in order to get everything in order, but it's going to sell out. So 670thescore.com/golfoutings.
If you know you're going to participate, please sign up as quickly as you possibly can. As Danny just said, we only have 6 weeks or so to get this put together. Let's move quickly on this. I'd like to buy the first foursome.
You're in for one?
I'm in for a four. You're in for half of 80,000.
I'm in for a foursome as well. I'm sure we'll get at least one of my crews to come out with a foursome and play out there. It'll be fun.
The goal of the event, and this is a lofty goal, but it's one we met the last time we gave it a shot. We effectively wound up paying an annual salary. What the money we raised would have amounted to what the annual salary is of one of the therapists on staff. And there has never been more of a demand for great therapy than there has been these last 15 years. When Patrick was diagnosed, the incidence of autism was, I think, if I remember 96, that October day when I was getting all the news, 1 in 800. It's now about 1 in 88.
And
the incidence of it occurring is even higher in boys. So there clearly is a need. We hope to pay somebody's salary for all the great work they do at Turning Point.
All right, so there you go. You'll hear promos on it throughout the station. We'll obviously be talking about it, and as we have more details to share, we will do so. But you'd really help us get some buzz going by signing up for a foursome today, 670thescore.com/golfouting. The bottom of the hour on The Score is brought to you by Northwestern Football. Don't miss your chance to watch Big Ten football at Ryan Field this fall as the 17th-ranked Northwestern Wildcats host Ohio State, Iowa, and more. Season tickets on sale now at nusports.com. I'm wondering if any Cubs fans are willing to admit today what they maybe were begrudgingly not willing to admit yesterday, which is you care about these games. You care. You care a little bit more.
And stupid factor was kicked up just by the appearance of 7 Mile South colors in your park last night.
Yes, and then and then Eloy, knowing that trade will be talked about for years and years to come, And then also the ability to have a situation where you're saying to yourself, you know what? I see the Cardinals all the time. I see the Brewers all the time. I don't have as many Brewer fan friends or Cardinal fan friends. But I know a lot of people that are Sox fans. And then having that ability to say, hey, this does matter. This does feel something. And this makes regular season baseball just feel a little bit bigger. It's okay to admit that that was a big deal last night.
Yeah, and it's a lot of people are thinking, regardless of the opposition last night, I mean, it could have been, pick a player on another team in the American League. They're playing an interleague play. It doesn't freaking matter. If it's somebody other than Eloy Jimenez, it's just, we're not hitting. We lost 3-1 because
exactly.
We're not hitting. I wouldn't let number 74, cloud your judgment too much. It's an offensive power outage. It's not even the middle of the season yet. They have a tremendous roster, and they will hit, and they will pitch. I think you really gotta use some logic here. You really have to use some of you push back a little bit and widen the focus and think about what your thoughts were when you saw this team assembled in Arizona and when you saw it start to put it together. They're capable and will do that again this year. They're going to go on some hot stretches, and they're going to be there until the bitter end.
I want to make it clear, there's two conversations that'll happen on today's show throughout a baseball season. It happens in sports all the time. Are we talking big picture, little picture? Are we talking present tense, or are we talking about the future?
Sorry to interrupt, this season.
No, and in that case, I'm with you. The Cubs will be fine. They will hit. They will go through more hot stretches. But, last night, the micro, the one game, I feel like it's okay, at least I did, to admit, damn, that game just felt bigger. Yeah. It just felt like it mattered a little bit more. And that's not the logic side of the brain. Right?
I know.
But that's okay. Everything doesn't have to be sabermetric. Like Theo Epstein and Jed Hoyer would tell you that there are some things that sting a little bit more, that they get pissed, that they, you know, maybe not punch a wall. They're probably a little bit more mature than that. But Theo joked about knocking over a chair when he was mad about the start of the season with us. You know what I mean? These guys, they're as smart as they come in baseball, but they get pissed too.
Well, you know, and if you didn't have that, you know, Cubs Sox mentality, for lack of a better expression, before yesterday started, it was resurrected if you just watched any sports media. If you watched some of the game and you saw highlights of games, maybe you're not emotionally connected right now to hating on the other. Cubs fans, you won a damn World Series 3 years ago. Sox fans, you won years a long time ago. But you see guys who might spark a reaction. I see Carlos Quinton in a highlight. Tanny mentioned him a lot. And I get mad at Carlos Quinton for what he did to the White Sox when he put his temper ahead of his common sense and smashed his wrist and he was out for the last month of a season when they could have done something. Or other Cubs who aggravate you. It's easy to resurrect those memories. And I'm with you. I say embrace it and then realize, as soon as the Mets get here tomorrow, that's, you know, the White Sox will be done and you don't have to pitch to Eloy again for another few weeks.
Eloy will join the show likely right around 3 o'clock today.
Yeah.
So Eloy at 3, Albert Almora at 3:30. Coming up next, John Morosi, our national baseball insider for Fox Sports and the MLB Network. I'm curious where Major League Baseball thinks Eloy ranks among other rookies and young stars like Vlad or Tatis. Also, the White Sox compared to the American League going forward, American League Central specifically. John Morosi joins us next on The Score.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Hey, John boy, how's the weather?
John Morosi.
Hello to a new adventure. Living my life in Michigan, my home state, surrounded by family and friends.
Columnist for MLB.com.
I think that with the White Sox, to see Moncada, the consistency of his work was really important. I think they're going to hit.
Out of here! Yoan Moncada drills it!
MLB Network Insider.
I think Theo at his worst. He would have no reason to begin a season with this framework of urgency and some pretty candid commentary and rhetoric about his own team if there was not some teeth behind it.
October starts in March.
Fox Sports Baseball contributor. Yeah.
Fox Sports Baseball God. John Paul Morosi.
I'm a guy. I'm not the guy.
John Morosi.
How about this for a homecoming?
With McNeil and Parkins on 670 The Score.
We talk to the National Baseball Insider from Fox Sports and MLB Network each and every week. Right in the middle of Cubs and Sox, we are McNeil and Parkins broadcasting from Brickhouse Tavern as part of the Wind Trust Crosstown Series. The Score will be here through first pitch at 7:05 with Zach Zaidman's pregame show. John Morosi joins us now on The Score. That was one hell of a signature moment for Eloy, wasn't it, John?
Whew, how about that? And, of course, made all the better by the fact that he had, of course, grounded in the double play earlier in the game in his very first at-bat. Then to write a very different ending was pretty compelling stuff. But great theater, and I love it, Danny and Dan, the fact that we can have this conversation now, and we'll be having it for years, who won this trade, right? It's going to be a lot of fun, and you look at Quintana, his performance that maybe hasn't quite been what the Cubs had hoped they were getting with him, and then you really look at it and say, well, the White Sox have a lot of years to try to find a way to make their side of the deal, the winning side of the deal. The fact that Jimenez is now signed a long-term deal, that works in the White Sox favor. Really, I think after the initial stages of that, the acclimation of the big leagues, he has been very good over the last month or 6 weeks or so. And, of course, Cease is still maybe too many walks for my comfort level in the minor leagues so far this season, but I think it's great discussion, as it will be for a long time, in your great city.
Boy, that's about 60 seconds reason for me to continue with what I was going to do, and that is stroke our guest, John Morosi, for how good he's been being a national guy and as in tune with what's happening here locally. Not every national guy is as plugged in. It's like he lives here. Well, he's only in Detroit. He's not that far away. He thinks about
just
living here.
Just in the neighborhood,
maybe someday. John, I stayed with local last night at postgame. So I don't know what they did on MLB Network. I don't know what they did on ESPN. Was this a national story of interest last night?
Well, it was. And I thought one really interesting point, too, this morning on MLB Network, and it was actually just before my segment today on MLB Central, Mark DeRosa did a really great breakdown of Jimenez and his swing and what we can expect from him going forward. And the name and the comparison that Mark mentioned for Eloy Jimenez was Jermaine Dye. And there's a little bit of similarity. I think Mark made a great point. He's so good about pulling these comps, and they're almost always spot on. And certainly if the White Sox get from Jimenez what they got out of Dye, when you think about the World Series and all the heroics there, they'll be very pleased indeed. Similar setup. And, of course, with Jimenez, guys, you just see it. The power is so strong. And as they say, when he hits it, it stays hit. That ball last night carried in the left field. And again, what a moment. That was beautifully described by Jason Benetti as well on the air. Just, it was a really cool moment to see. And again, I'm coming at this impartially. I just love great baseball, and certainly in the Midwest. And I thought it was just a great storyline for the White Sox to have that game. And again, it furthers the conversation, and I think brings this conversation about the trade all the more to the forefront of the Chicago sports discussion, as it should be now for years to come.
John Morosi from MLB Network and Fox Sports is our guest. There's so many great young stars in baseball. If you were going to, you know, poll general managers and they were going to rank maybe the rookies that he's competing with, right? Vlad Jr., Tatis Jr., Eloy. Where does he rank among the game's young superstars?
That's a great question, Danny, because when you think about it, of course, it's hard to, on some level, you're not dealing with the full season for everybody. So in that respect, Eloy's in a pretty good spot because of when he arrived. You know, Vlad, of course, it's similar, I think, maybe to Eloy a little bit, that he came in and wasn't quite producing up to par right away, but he's really picked it up and gotten there. Tatis, of course, has missed some time. To me, I tend to go with the up-the-middle player, and Tatis is so dynamic, and he impacts your game in multiple ways. But the power for both Vlad and Eloy is going to play. I think that really, to me, certainly in the American League, you think about Vlad and Eloy both, they're very much even for me. I think this is a very, very even sprint right now, and then the second half will tell the tale. Tatis, you look at what he has done, he might be the front runner, of course, in the National League right now, but there are so many great young players. And even I love this fact here, think about the AL Central. How about the native of Crown Point, Indiana, and Zach Plesac, what he has done? Again, it's been a brief look, but he has every look of somebody that's going to be part of that rotation there in Cleveland for a long time. And I love how the fact that when he pitched on the south side, a big cheering section from his home state of Indiana was there too. So I always love seeing Midwestern players that do a great job at the major league level as Zach is doing right now. But I think, guys, as we speak today, Eloy Jimenez has as good of a chance as anybody else to get that Rookie of the Year, and to have that signature moment last night, it is unquantifiable what that means. Not just for the award voting, because of course the writers take a very hard look at things in the second half, but I just think for the narrative, this is a day where White Sox fans can walk around town with the chest a little higher and feel really good about what happened last night. And I think that when it happens like that, and considering, of course, the trade and everything else, these are some serious bragging rights, at least for today, with the Crosstown Cup going on, which I think is just great for the game and great for the conversation.
John, as you can imagine, Cubs fans, intensity amped up because it's Jimenez. And, you know, they lost 3 out of 4 to the Dodgers over the weekend. They're not hitting with runners in scoring position. Is there a legitimate reason, in your opinion, here in the latter part of June, for Cubs fans to have their finger depressed on the panic button?
Well, not yet. I think the one thing I would say, Dan, I think it's going to be really, really interesting, is to see how Chatwood does tomorrow. Because his walk rate has come down a little bit. That was a really big thing for the Cubs to get him in the strike zone more. He has done that. He has pitched pretty well in a relief role and has gotten extended out in different times in that situation. But starting is a little bit different, and now they need him. And the Cubs, to your point, when you think about how the season has gone overall, they've actually been really fortunate with regard to their starting pitching health. The only game started by anyone other than the starting five originally was the one game by Chatwood. And when you're in the middle of June and you've had basically your core five starters for all but one start, you're in really good shape. And so now with Hendricks being out for what appears to be an indefinite amount of time, that's a bit of a concern. And really the Cubs, I would say at this point in time, are almost one more starting pitching injury away from I would say, then the panic button is a little bit fair. Because you look at the division overall, and the saving grace of the Cubs for now is the Cardinals have had moments of playing good baseball, but they haven't been consistent. The Brewers are now showing their age a little bit, where Kane has slowed down, Braun as well, and now Moustakas, he got hit last night. His status is a little bit uncertain. So they've had some questions too. I don't see any team, Cubs included, running away with this division. I think it's going to be close until the very end, and the Cubs' veteran knowledge of how to win ball games late, I think that's going to really come to the forefront. Rizzo, I think, has had a really solid year. Bryant, I think, you know, you think about his season and have coming off of the shoulder issue, I think he's done a really nice job of recovering from a little bit of a nervous start. Overall, this is a very solid team. Hamels, I thought, was really good again last night. But I'm going to be paying very close attention to Chatwood tomorrow, because that to me is going to tell the tale about just how nervous the Cubs ought to be and how fortunate, Dan, they have been to only have to go to someone who wasn't one of their five core starters for just one start all season long.
John Morosi from Fox Sports and MLB Network. Let's go big picture for the White Sox. This isn't their year to contend, but if I said starting in 2020 and we projected out five seasons compared to the rest of the other teams in the American League Central, how are they situated for the future, and would you say that they are the favorite to be the winningest team in that division over that period of time?
I love that topic, Danny, and that's a really good way of looking at it, because it is that five-year time horizon that you have to look at. It's not just winning in one year, it's winning sustainably. I'm a little bit curious to see how the pitching comes together for them. But I think if that's the case, and if they maybe get one more, whether it's in free agency or the right amount of internal guys hit, and of course Kopech comes up here once he gets healthy, I could see that team having the most wins in that five-year span. I do love the Twins, and they've got a very good homegrown core to them. I think that's the one thing. I look position player v position player. I love it when you've got a group of homegrown guys, and you think about the Twins, Polanco, Kepler, Buxton, of course, just went on the injured list, but he's been a lot better this year. Sano, there's a lot to like about that group right there. That I think the Twins got a chance to be really good for a long time. It's between the Twins and the White Sox for me. The Indians, this I think is their last hurrah to make maybe at least a wild card run at this thing. But I think the Twins right now are the better team for this year. I think the Twins will probably enter next year as the favorite as well to win the division unless something really dramatic happens. But I could see by 2021. The White Sox challenging the Twins, and I think over that five-year time horizon, I would buy stock in the White Sox, especially I think the biggest development of this whole year has been the emergence of Giolito. That was one thing where up until this year you'd seen his performance and you weren't really sold on it. There, of course, he had all the hype coming out of high school, Harvard, Westlake in California, and never quite lived up to it. But this year has been a revelation in a way that I'm not sure anybody expected around baseball. And now that you've got an ace, and then if you think about Cease, if he could figure out maybe to get the walks under control a little bit, and then if Kopech comes back healthy, goodness, that's going to be a really great competition, I believe, between the White Sox and the Twins. Because the Twins, they've got a pretty good homegrown core, too, pitching-wise, with Jose Berrios, who is dynamic, and he'll be an all-star as well. But I can see some great games here going forward, guys, on the south side there. Berrios matched up against Giolito for some big games, Twins and White Sox. Shades, my friends, of 2008 there with game 163. What a great game that was for the White Sox.
Yeah, it sure was. Great stuff, John. Always enjoy your company. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk next week.
My pleasure, guys. I got to find a way to get to Chicago here soon here. I know it's the best time of year of all to be there and enjoy the Crosstown Cup. Love your city. Love talking baseball with you guys. Thanks so much.
Thank you, John Morosi from Fox Sports and MLB Network. The segment sponsored by Hint Water. Hint is pure still or sparkling water infused with a variety of fruit essences, including watermelon, blackberry, and cherry. No sugar, no sweeteners, no calories. Available in your local grocery store or at drinkhint.com. Hint, mouth-watering water. That American League Central is totally up for grabs for the White Sox to take charge of it.
The Twins are good. I didn't think they would sustain it this long, but John was on the ground floor of this. He told us before the year started, forget the Indians. There's some, you know, disharmony there. The Twins will win the Central. I didn't think they would. They're not slowing down. Their run differential is off the chart, hideously great.
And I'm obviously, this year it's not there for the taking. I'm saying for the next five years, the questions of how sustainable it is for the Twins. I think
that's a good question.
Oh, thanks.
It was.
He thought so too.
I was thinking, it's like, man, you'd think of things to think about.
I think about things.
Yeah.
It's kind of.
Then we talk about them.
Then we talk about them.
We yak about them.
We fill time.
No. We never fill time. We program time.
And then every couple of Fridays, you cha-ching, and then it's great. And then you do it again.
Cha-ching.
It's beautiful. Beautiful, Swerves.
Cha-ching.
Eloy is going to join us maybe in about 20 minutes or so. Albert Almora after that. There was, other than the Eloy moment, we had an epic moment on both broadcasts last night, especially for fans of this show. We will share with you coming up on The Score.
Eloy's coming.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.